Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This podcast is supported in part by the Bertha Foundation. This podcast is supported in part by the Bertha Foundation.
Good evening, Lewis.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm well. And I just want to say a big sorry to Jane Caro, who was going to join us for the show, but she had a computer glitch and can no longer join us. And this is the second time that she's been ousted from Irrational Fear thanks to computer glitches. I don't know exactly what's going on there. I don't know.
Someone doesn't want her here.
Someone can't handle the truth. Bill Gates can't handle the truth. Hey, Lewis, remember when I found out that we were on a list of best podcasts in Australia and we were 97?
Yeah.
I found out I'm on another list this week. I'm in the
watch
top
list?
I'm in the top 500 most influential tweeters on climate change. I'm between Shell and the United States Department of Energy. Do you have any idea where that puts me?
Like between 300 and 400.
37.
What?
I know. Yeah, 30. I'm like the 37th most influential person on Twitter according to this list. Slightly above the IPCC and the Climate Council.
Yeah. Having you in between those two, I don't know if you've seen that new KFC burger where they like invert the fillets and the filling.
It's like, yes.
Instead of putting the good things in the middle, they put the two chicken fillets as bread and they put the filling in the middle. That's you. You're in the middle. You're the little bit of lettuce. You're the healthy decision, and it's two unhealthy chicken fillets killing the world on either end.
That's right. And, put it another way, like I'm the bit you don't want in your chicken burger.
Yeah, you're the pickle.
Throw me away. Anyway, I thought that was really fun. Hey, I'm recording Mind of Irrational Fear on Gadigal land in the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. We need a treaty. Let's start the show.
Irrational Fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dum, and Section 40. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, America asks whoever the last one out of Afghanistan is to please turn out the light. And Scott Morrison ducked home to Sydney to give the headline address at the Safety for Jenny and the Girls Brunch Summit. And Western Australia records Australia's biggest ever surplus. Even that can't justify $7 flat whites. It's the 10th of September 2021 and we're all out of Kmart plates. This is Irrational Fear.
Irrational Fear!
Welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm your host, former WAG, Dan Illich. It is great to have your company. Let's meet our fearmongers for tonight. I was going to introduce Jane Caro, but I won't because she's not here. So instead, I'll introduce Blair Police. Blair Police is one of the most effective climate activists. She co-founded 350.org, and she was also at a very special News Corp function 18 years ago, which we're going to talk about a little later on. Welcome, Blair, to Irrational Fear.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And he's been labelled as a COVID crisis actor. Does this mean he's eligible for Best New Talent at the Logies? It's the host of the Dead Dad Society podcast. It is comedian Mitch Garling. Mitch, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
You have had quite a week. Please take Lewis and Blair through it. What happened this week?
Well, look, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy. First of all, I love the idea about Best New Talent for the Logie. That is great. I will write that down.
Well, I've got some bad news. The Logies have been cancelled the last 2 years, so you might have to try it again next year.
Or if COVID hangs around for a bit longer, I'll go 2022 Logies or 2023, something like that. But essentially, guys, what happened was there was a bunch of videos going around of patients in the hospital. It was filmed and released by New South Wales Health that these people that had COVID checking in on them, saying, don't get it. That's a big one. But it's like just checking in on them, really. And apparently one of the guys looked like me. So I started getting a lot of hate. So people went and took my acting star now profile and my name and my Facebook page and ran with it. And yeah, I copped a lot of abuse over the last 10 days now.
So just to clarify, you're not a guy called Osama who lives in Western Sydney.
No, zero COVID. Osama. Not Osama, not don't have COVID, never had it. Have been COVID tested twice. I don't know if I need to prove that. But no, definitely don't have it, and not pretending to have it either is the biggest thing, I think.
I mean, are there any benefits to being labelled as a COVID crisis actor? Do you get cast in more COVID crisis things? Like, it's a boom industry.
MEAA, letting you sign up.
I think we get, it's a bit of a, what's the word? As like a benefit, Friends of Gladys kind of thing. I think we get out October 16 instead of 18 or something like that.
Mitch, have you found out any way to contact the person who you're supposed to have been?
No, I haven't. I literally was thinking about that today because now the things have changed from you're a piece of shit to you guys should get together. And it's like, that is actually such a good idea.
This is such a weird 2021 meet cute.
There's only a certain amount of people that will even appreciate the photo of him and I together. But I'm going to hit that. Like that group, they're going to love it.
This is a Netflix sitcom waiting to happen. This is great.
Yeah. This is, 2021 version of, was it Perfect Strangers with like Bronson Pinchot? Do you remember that? I thought that was going to hit. I thought that reference was so hot.
Coming up later, we're going to chat with Bear Please about News Corp and how they're moving from a climate change denier to being a climate change action hero, but for whose benefit? Before then, here's a message from this week's sponsor.
There's only one airline that can fly you to vacation in Hawaii while your home is ablaze. There's only one airline that can fly you to discover your family's history on the other side of the world while families at home are being made history. And there's only one airline to help you secretly see your loved ones in another city when everyone else is only allowed to travel 3 miles from home. Fly the Entitled Skies, where tone-deaf headphones are complimentary.
How good are you? Very good. You're the best Prime Minister ever.
The only airline where you don't have to put your seat up if you don't want to. Entitled Airlines. Direct flights now available from Canberra to a place where they filmed The White Lotus.
This week's First Fear, Guy Sebastian apologises for posting a pro-vaccination vaccination campaign to his Instagram, but refuses to apologise for Angels Brought Me Here. I would never tell people what to do when it comes to
what they put in their body, Sebastian said in an Instagram post. At the same time, Sebastian's wife immediately deleted several posts of her own telling people that they should be putting Nature's Way Vita gummies in their bodies. I don't know. I've done my own research here, and according to several sources on the internet, Nature's Way Vita gummies are incredibly delicious. So fearmongers, has Guy Sebastian let us down here? Mitch Garling?
Look, I'm not sure if he's let us down as such. I think there seems to be a lot of questions about we're talking about Guy, we're talking about Jules, a lot of these two seem to be coming up. But the problem that I have is that, once again, no one is giving any respect to Knowlesy. No one has brought up Knowlesy at any point. No one has even asked how he's doing, what he thinks. Does he take vitamins? Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And he's sitting there going, what about me? It isn't fair. It was the first thing I did, Mitch. At the moment I saw the Guy Sebastian story, the first thing I did was go straight to Knowlesy's Instagram just to see if he'd made any comment. His Instagram is like genuine, pure country dad energy. It's just like, here's my new truck. Here's a roast lamb. Here's the sheep that I was raising for the last 3 years before I turned it into this roast lamb. It's amazing.
Guys, a video did have a strong kind of hostage feel about it. Like, he really felt like he was being held hostage by a whole bunch of his fans for promoting vaccines.
Yeah.
I mean, he said in this video, and I think it's interesting, there are personal circumstances that everybody has to consider when it takes the vaccine. So what are these personal circumstances? It is so hard to kind of even fathom what those personal circumstances are.
You know, things like belief in science. Big stuff like that.
But Blair, I mean, Blair, that's actually, I feel like that's it, because he's, a large part of his audience are really hugely Christian, and there's like all these rumours about stem cells and fetuses being used in these vaccines, and that's the personal circumstances. Just say it, Guy. Yeah. Put it out there.
Exactly.
Let us know how crazy you are.
It's or so funny. If you're gonna circle around trying to not nail it down one way or the other. You know, the apology for the apology, he seemed largely confused at the end of it all.
It's actually so amazing because he, between this and the apology he had to make for being like Scott Morrison's sort of show pony for the announcement of the funding for performing artists, it's now at a point where most Australians are more familiar with his public apologies than his songs.
Oh, yeah, I really liked his 2019 apology.
Yeah.
His 2022 apology tour is pretty good.
When there is the ARIA Award for best compilation of public apologies, he is absolutely going to romp that in.
I'm really enjoying what Man with the Dominant Claw on YouTube has said. What happened to not getting advice from some guy on the internet?
There's that whole thing going around that he's patient zero anyway, because of the Instagram photos of him in Wuhan in late 2019.
God, is this true?
Yeah, so it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. Like, I mean, now the anti-vax stance kind of makes sense. It's like, you don't want to ruin your own work kind of thing. But yeah, you're not wrong, Dan, about that video.
The photo that Mitch is talking about, like, it's obvious, it's incredible, but it's so good. The captions that he puts on it are so perfect. It's him in Wuhan, and the caption is, he's like, so great to be here in beautiful Wuhan. I sure did eat some strange things. # big things coming. Like, it literally couldn't be more, I did it.
Wow, that is incredible. That is incredible. He is patient zero. Wow.
Irrational fear.
Death is horrible, but we also need to put things into perspective. There are 8 million citizens who don't have a choice in how they spend their free time. That is no way to live.
Your fear is rational.
Now, remember when Scott Morrison and Greg Hunt said that Australia was at the front of the queue when it came to ordering the Pfizer vaccine? Well, leaked emails have shown that Pfizer reached out to the government in June last year saying, hey, Australia, we've got some jabs. Do you want any? And then Greg Hunt and Scott Morrison rushed to do a deal 5 months later. 5 months later, in which time the UK and the US got in front of us. 5 months. Now, admittedly, it's a bit of a process because Pfizer wanted to be paid in US dollars, so Treasury had to work out just how many commuter car parks they would have to convert to buy the vaccines. Fearmongers, from the front of the queue to the back of the queue. I'm beginning to think that our leaders are not very good at their jobs. What do you think?
Well, Dan, the Liberal Party over the last, 20 years has been very adamant about not wanting queue jumpers in this country. And I do think that you got to give it to them. They really have put their money where their mouth is.
They're leading by example. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can't help but wonder if any normal person had failed that badly at their job. And yet they're still in there. You know, it's just one little major mistake, 1,000 people dead after the next, but still in there. No accountability.
We can't get rid of them for another few months. Yeah.
The health minister or the health department just comes across as almost as a bit of a player, or they're coming across as a bit of a fuckboy, if I'm being honest. Like, if you
playing hard to get.
Like, if you look at it, it's like, you know, they got Pfizer interested, they hooked them in, then they left them on red.
They were negging Pfizer.
Negging. And then 5 months later, they come back when there's no better options. They're coming back and they're like, Pfizer, where are you at? Like, come on, we'll have you now.
Come on, just a little prick. Come on.
Yeah. Hitting him with like a you up ? Message at 3 a.m. in the morning. Hitting Pfizer up like that.
Their defense is kind of like, oh, everyone's a hindsight hero. We could all do it. And there is like 5% of that is true. Like, I do remember when they were talking about the vaccines and everyone was talking about it, like, one company is going to make billions of dollars here, and non-health experts, non-government experts, everyone was like, man, if I've got $100, I'm chucking it in like one medical company here just to see. So no one quite knew who was going to win. So there is a degree of that, like, sure, in hindsight, we didn't know. But also the idea of just like not showing up to a meeting with one of the world's biggest companies when you knew that a vaccine was on the way. That 95% of it is so dumb.
Yeah, in a pandemic, when that's the bloody job.
The only way out. The only way out. And, you know, wouldn't you think a little hedging your bets would be a good thing? Why not throw some effort at all three and then see which one sticks on the wall?
That's actually what they should have done, Blair, is just gotten a few professional gamblers.
Absolutely. we're really good at that in Australia.
Yeah. Pfizer is in lane one. Moderna is in lane two. Yeah, just gotten Bruce McAvaney to call the whole thing. It would have been gripping.
Yeah, rather than set up the National COVID Coordination Committee, which basically started a gas pipeline, they should have just got Sportsbet to give them advice.
Exactly.
Yeah, it looks like, Pfizer's, we're paying them $2.50. AstraZeneca, we're paying $1.80 to come through. Moderna coming through at $4.80. Yeah.
Considering some of the advice that you can find online, getting advice about vaccines from an ex-footy player is probably all right. Like, it's right up there compared to the other, you know. It's better than getting from his wife or something, which seems to be the thing to happen at the moment.
The response from Scott Morrison is like, there's no greater sign that someone has fucked up than hearing a politician say, we're not looking at the past, we're looking at the future. Like, if you just said a Google alert for that sentence, every time someone has said it, just like,
That person should be fired. Yeah,
that person should be fired. That is a fireable offence, that sentence.
Irrational fear.
That's a matter for the Queensland government.
I mean, that's a matter for the Premier.
That's a matter that I'll raise with other Premiers and Chief Ministers.
That's really a question to the Premier.
That's a matter I'm happy to take up with the other Premiers and Chief Ministers.
Irrational fear.
Now we're going to play Hang On A Sec. I'll play a video. If you want to chime in, simply say, hang on a sec, and I'll stop the tape. This week's Hang On A Sec comes from the Prime Minister's Instagram, where he's wishing us all, I guess, a Are You OK Day. Oh, no. A happy Are You OK Day.
Are You OK? Are You OK Day is that reminder, not just for today, but for every day, for us to check in on each other. We all have those moments.
Hang on a sec. He's like really leaning over us in this point of view. Like, physically, he is dominating the screen. He is looking down on us like we're a little child asking for some more soup. And in a second, he's going to lock us in a room and send us to our room. That's what, you know, that is very imposing here.
You know, we already don't think the best of him. And now he looks like some sort of like sleep demon or something just over the top of me.
I feel like this angle, I feel like I've just been punched by Scott Morrison and now he's asking me if I'm okay. Like, that's the angle.
Yeah. If you're listening on the podcast, imagine that someone has put a phone on a table, like at probably belly button height, and then has leaned over ominously towards the camera, kind of like a scene from the BFG. And it's just like this man is about to blow a trumpet of evil dreams into your ear and you're never going to wake up happy again.
I did like that he got 3 seconds in before it looked like he definitely checked a script of some sort.
Yeah, fully.
If you know it's an Are You Okay Day video, surely when you say Are You Okay for the second time, you're going to be like, oh, I'll remember that. I think I'm going to remember what this sentence is about. Like, yeah. It's the first Are You Okay? You're like, oh, yeah, he phoned that in almost, but it was the second one where I was like, he checked a script there for sure. Yeah.
If he was doing this for Anzac Day and on the second day he'd gone like bland black day, he would have done another take.
We all have times when we really need someone to ask us that question and give us that invitation to be able to share how we're feeling so that can help us get through. So ask today. Ask every day. Check on your mates, your family, your friends, those you work with. Or sometimes it's just seeing someone who might be in a bit of a distress and you've
picked up. Hang on a second. Are you okay? A bit of stress. Let's talk to Brittany Higgins about a little stress and how she's feeling this week. I'm sure we'll get to that shortly.
Yeah. Also just going like, you know what it's like when your family are in a bit of distress, but you're separated from borders, so you just you hire a jet at the taxpayer's expense and you pop over and you see your family and you ask them, are you okay? And you should do that every day. And if you don't, I mean, become Prime Minister because it's very easy.
Yeah.
And you've picked that up and just ask them, are you okay? It's who we are as a country. It's what I like about Are You Okay Day. It's something very Australian.
No other people from any other country have ever checked on the welfare of anybody else. Yeah, yeah. The thing that Will Anderson always goes on about mateship being uniquely Australian, the whole principle, oh, there aren't any other countries in the world that have friends. That doesn't exist. It's so uniquely Australian. Mateship.
The Spanish are famously solitary people.
I also like he likes this about Are You Okay Day because it's also something the government doesn't have to pay for.
It's also very, like, in terms of Australia, like, I know it's a very serious thing and it's a great thing that it exists, but half the people that I know that ever say Are You Okay, like, it's ironic. Like, it's never genuine. So I don't know, it's hard to believe this guy when I know he has a history of being not genuine.
Well, you pretty much had us at it's hard to believe this guy.
I could have just stopped there, Blair, and I gave him more credit. I mean, at least, but, to be fair.
Well, you have to remember Scott Morrison is an ironic Prime Minister. Like, everything he's done is basically ironic. everything from the very start of putting his hand around Malcolm Turnbull before he rolled him to say, oh, this is my leader. I'm ambitious for him.
Can you imagine if Scott Morrison today sent Malcolm Turnbull a text saying, are you okay? That would be the single funniest thing he could ever have done.
That is so funny and sad at the same time.
It shouldn't be a day for bullying, but you would have to give a pass to that.
And get away with it too.
I don't have Malcolm Turnbull's number in my phone, but if I did, I'd call him right now to get him on the podcast to find out if Scott Morrison has sent him an Are You Okay text in the past.
I tell you, Are You Okay Day is the day for Scotty to right some wrongs, though. Like, he could reach out to Malcolm, or I don't know, what was that? The guy that he stood on his lawn when the guy had just reseeded lawn and Scott was standing on his lawn and he ruined that guy's lawn. Maybe an Are You Okay Day text there might be nice.
How about the woman with the goat on the chain out after the bushfires where he forced him to shake hands with him in the middle of the fire? How are you coping right now? Have you got a house yet? You know, things like that.
Yeah, or just check in on anyone who's on Nauru or Christmas Island.
Unfortunately, Dan, Are You Okay Day is not classically Nauruan. It is classically Australian. So it doesn't cross waters like that.
Are you okay? I hope so. And if not, there are people there who can help you.
But it's not me.
That's true.
When he asked, are you okay, and tried all with all of his might to sound like a human being, it made me feel, you know, like the uncanny valley in animation where things are like too human to be fake and too fake to be human. It was that was the uncanny valley of questions.
When he said, I hope so, It's like, are you okay? I hope so. And it's like, oh, that's Scotty, that's so believable. It is. It's the was it Mars Attacks? It's the lady with the alien that dresses up as a lady in Mars Attacks and tries to fit in, and everyone's like, oh, I think something's off here. That's what is happening right now. I'm sorry that my references are so off tonight, guys.
No, Mars Attacks is one of my favourite films of 1998. It was really, really good, really good.
You matter a great deal, and so it's important that we know if you're okay.
That's a bit sinister there. It's important to know if you're okay. That feels like that's coming from the AFP more than anyone else, doesn't it?
We've read your emails. We know you're not okay, and we're sending the AFP around to check on you.
You're listening to A Rational Fear.
Will exposure sites be put back in place, especially with reopening and people going back to pubs and stuff?
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the new world order.
A Rational Fear.
After years of denying that climate change exists and constantly backing governments whose sole focus is to extract as much coal as possible out of the ground, the baddies in Australian media, aka News Corp, are going to do an about-face, at least for a couple of weeks, and support net zero by 2050 targets up until about COP26. And reportedly, these editorials are going to be led by friend of the show, Joe Hildebrand. To find out whether this is absolute bullshit or not, it's a real privilege to have Blair Police here, who is the managing editor of Climate and Capital Media and is one of the most effective climate campaigners in Australia. And 18 years ago, Blair, you were at an event that was meant to change the game on climate for News Corp forever. Talk us through that.
Again, 18 years ago, sitting in a room with a lot of journalists and others, activists. Oh, all the activists were invited, of course. Pretty cheap lay of the land there. Not much on offer in terms of croissant or good coffee. But a big announcement about this thing called 1 degree. And 1 degree was all about how to keep the planet at 1 degree of warming or less. And all the things that News Corp was going to commit to reduce its emissions. And I remember sitting around next to people and everybody kind of looking at each other saying, is this a good thing? Is this possibly a good thing? These people are evil. Is this a good thing? Come to find out 18 years on, guess what? Another announcement. This time it's net zero. That's the catchphrase of the century. And 2050, no less. By the time, 2050 rolls around, you could pretty much do absolute, excuse the French, jack shit, and it would all still sound relevant to net zero by 2050. So, my theory is that News Corp has given lessons to Scotty from announcements about how to use announcements just as a way to keep people slightly off kilter and confused while you continue to trash the planet with more information about climate denial.
So why are we hearing about it now? Why is it being publicized in Fairfax papers right now?
There's this thing called COP26 coming up in November. It's a big global meeting. There's one country in the West that is the ultimate bad guy, and guess what? It's Australia. So I think there's just a little bit of an attempt there to try and paint themselves green. Ride in, maybe, share drinks on opening day, Rupert and co, with the big kind of big names that are there on the first day. They'll be kings, they'll be queens, they'll be presidents, they'll be, you name it, they'll be there. Rupert probably just wants an invite.
Is that it? Is that as cynical as it gets? Like Rupert actually, wants to go to Glasgow in November?
Probably. The guy hates to miss a big event.
Right.
But it also, buys him space to keep doing exactly what he's doing because says one thing, does another. He's been doing it for 20 years on climate. So what would change about that?
Do you think we'll see any kind of movement from News Corp at all in this space as a good actor at all?
Absolutely not.
Wow.
Is there any chance, the thing about News Corp is like, obviously they run their own race, and then you'd see it with something like the Kevin Rudd election. There will come a point where they realize that they can't keep backing a losing horse too publicly, and then right at the last minute, just to try to keep people on board, they'll make the switch and they'll be like, you know what, that Kevin Rudd, he's actually a really good guy. And then 6 months later, it'll start.
It's a terrifying thought to think that Rupert Murdoch would do that before Scott Morrison, but it's possible.
Yeah, but I mean, is there a point where 80% of Australians want action on climate change? There is just a point now where the only people who don't want to are currently on staff at Sky News.
Well, and working for the last standing fossil fuel company.
Yeah, and is there a chance that they're just realizing that they're starting to look so stupid now? Is there any chance of that at all?
No.
I mean, I kind of knew the answer, but I figured you knew more than me, and maybe there's a hope for a better world.
It's worth noting in the New York Times article that there is a staff member who's quoted about it who will not be named because he's fearing for his life. You have to kind of look at it that way, right? So if on staff they've announced this big thing and the staff at large are not allowed to say whether they think, well, yeah, it could be good, but it might not, you know, you could get shot for less at News Corp. So, you know, it's not looking good.
I want you to know, Blair, that is absolute lies, because Joe Hildebrand himself has replied to a text when I said, when you can come and talk about the climate thing, come on Irrational Fear again. He said, love to, love to. We're going to get Joe Hildebrand on to talk about what News Corp, the three articles that News Corp's going to write to promote climate action.
He didn't say whether he'd be for or against.
No, he didn't say. I should text him.
Sorry, also, other line from the New York Times. There's a phrase that said, we're going to change and explore the depths of this very complex issue. 2 years ago, the language was, it's fraudulent and it's a damaging cult, the climate movement. Which is it? It's hard to know.
Well, that's a lie, because nothing in the Daily Telegraph explores anything in any depth. People just want to turn to Sydney Confidential and see Osha Gunsberg with his shirt off. That's all they want to say.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't? Quite frankly, who wouldn't?
I bet they've done like a pretty in-depth expose on the Nadia Bartel plate saga. I haven't been checking, but I reckon they would have done a full double page spread every day this week.
We've seen an exponential rise in carbon and an exponential rise in the sales of Kmart plates.
Yeah. Investigating the climate change effects of cocaine.
Yeah, I'm more interested in cocaine capture and storage solutions.
I'm just hoping that from all of this, perhaps I could get some work as like a climate actor. I don't know if I don't know what the roles are. Like I could play like a slightly deeper bit of water or something.
Well, Mitch, unfortunately for you, News Corp who are the climate activist actors who pretend climate change isn't happening, is changing their tact. So normally you could just go walk into Sky News and say, "Oh, climate change is rubbish."
Maybe Mitch, you should just do a self-tape audition for a variety of different crisis actor roles. So you can just be like, hello, my name's Mitch Garling. I'm here from Star Now. My next role will be school shooter. And then just do that. And then he's like, hello, my name's Mitch Garling. I'm 5'10". And now I'm going to do victim of climate change. And, you know, scream in pain as the fire burns. Just set yourself up for the whole gamut of options.
Look, and that will help with range. Like, that will show a lot of range. Like, there's not... I don't know how many people in Australia are able to do that kind of contrast of like, I'm water, I'm also fire. Like there's different.
The great thing about the climate change crisis actor is that right now we're all acting method. So it's really good.
We are Stanislavskiing this shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Put me in Steppenwolf for the climate change play.
Hey, Lewis, do you remember a few months back, June, when we were performing in Newcastle, we imagined what would it be like if Alan Jones all of a sudden became a climate action hero and actually started writing articles for endorsing climate action? I'm not saying that Irrational Fear forced this change from News Corp, but, you know,
gave them an idea. Gave them an idea.
Yeah.
Quite clearly.
I really hope to have to see that. It's going to be as natural as Scott Morrison's Are You Okay Day video.
I think we can all agree that climate pollution is a huge problem. God.
Watching Alan Jones talk about getting emissions down, it would be like watching Johnny Depp in the Pistol and Boo video.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Emissions need to come down because, oh, God. It'd be very hard for him to do, very difficult. Blair, you know, you have been doing this for so long and you have got a good...
I know, it's starting to show, right?
But thank you. But thank you for all of the work that you've done for this movement for so long. And if you would, in your heart of hearts, be generous to News Corp for just one second...
That's impossible.
I just want to, what if Blair, they are going to be a good actor? What would it look like to you? Like, what would you like to see them do if they're to make good on this idea that they've put forward in
there
other
really
media?
There is only three things. The banner headline across every paper: we were wrong. Rupert Murdoch at the COP opening ceremony, I was wrong, and I sacrificed myself to all of the planet Earth for you do whatever you must with me, because at this point I have no single human has done more damage than I have, so I offer myself up, and that's what I want. I want his head on a platter.
Can we Rupert Murdoch on stage at Glasgow saying, "Hello, I'm Rupert Murdoch. I was wrong. Here's this Tesla charger. I'm going to put it in my chest and let Lachlan run the country." Ah!
It got really dark for a second there. It went from like, I want a print on the front of the newspaper to like, just like a public murder. Like, it was two. But I'm not saying I'm not with you.
Not a public murder. A defestration. Martyrdom. Rupert Murdoch is a climate martyr. That's what we'd like
perfect.
To see.
We need more.
That is it for Irrational Fear. Big thank you to our guests, Blair Pelees, Mitch Garling, Lewis Hobber. What would you like to plug, folks? Mitch, do you want to plug something?
Thanks for having me on, guys. Much appreciated. I'll be not pretending to be a COVID actor for the foreseeable future. And I've got a podcast called Dead Dad Society. I started it. It's like a bit of a therapy group in the form of a podcast. I started it when my dad died. So I just have people on that have lost parents or lost, you know, sisters, brothers, or even just, you know, crazy things happening in their lives that maybe you might need a bit of therapy. I am not trained to be a therapist in any way. It was more that I just wanted to, get my own stuff out, and it was good to have people on.
And if you pay on Patreon, that's much cheaper than a therapist. So thank you.
Yeah, it's quite nice, actually, the other way around, as opposed to giving my money out, really.
Thank you, Mitch. Blair, what would you like to plug?
Well, Climate and Capital Media, keep an eye. It's free to sign up and read what we got going. And it tracks the kind of trends on climate and the opportunities. So if you're looking at what you can do, how you can invest, and what you need to know about the issue, it's all there. And with COP coming up, now's the time.
Great. Lewis, do you want to plug anything?
No, Dan, just get out there, stream Guy Sebastian, get around him. He's had a rough week.
Get some Nature's Way Vita Gummies into you.
Absolutely. Nature's Way. The only way.
A big thanks to the Bertha Foundation. Jacob Round on the Teppanyaki timeline. I feel for him. He's got to edit this together tonight. Our mics are from Rode Mics. And a big thank you to Patreon supporters. Another bumper week of Patreon supporters joining up to enjoy the show. Grandmaster Too Sweet is back. Sky King has joined up. Darren Nash, Curtis Jackson, Stephen Joseph. Louise McElvogue has joined up, a big media consultant who I've worked with in the past. Comedy director Casey Anning has signed up.
Hey,
she's a big
Casey.
She's a big deal these days. I've convinced her to come on the show, Lewis. She's going to come on.
Oh, I love Casey.
And Andrew Partington, and also a brilliant animator and illustrator, Adele K. Thomas, who's been a long-time listener of the pod, has also signed up. If you want to support what we do here at Irrational Fear, go to patreon.com/irrationalfear. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Good night. Oh, and next week we've got Heath Franklin and Nina Oyama. So come back next week for them.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.